Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Vasi Hantalis, your host for Dreaming Big, Leading Boldly. Our topic today is three design secrets that increase values in vacation rentals. And our guest today is Gunilla DeSanto of Deluxe Decor by Design. Good morning, Gunilla.
Good morning, Vasi.
So great to have you here with us today. And just to let our listeners know a little bit about you, Gunilla is a certified interior decorator and designer. She's also a professional home stager. And her specialty is turning coastal homes into in-demand, income-producing luxury vacation rentals in Southern California. And, Gunilla, I'd like to start by just asking you, how did you get started in interior design?
Well, my dad was a structural engineer, and he was also a very talented builder. And so there was one particular very big project that he was working on, which was taking a blank space on our second story in our summer house, and he built it three bedrooms, a grand room, a wall of closets, because, you know, he had four daughters, so it needed a lot of closet space, and created also a bathroom. And while he was dealing with all, like, literally the space planning and building the walls and stuff, that was not what I was interested in. I immediately focused on, ooh, what are the colors on the walls going to be, and what kind of countertop are we going to put on the bathroom vanity, et cetera. And that's when I initially got bitten by the design bug. And so although first part of my career I spent in branding and marketing, mainly in entertainment, and while I was doing that, I did several interior design projects in my own home, or in my own homes, I should say, but neighbors and friends and family were like, oh my gosh, I love what you did with your kitchen, and I love what you did with your living room, et cetera, and oh, would you please help me with mine? I'm just having such a hard time wrapping my head around it. So for about 13 years, I was doing my own projects and helping others do theirs, and then when I decided I didn't like doing what I did in entertainment anymore, I decided to go in full-time into interior design, and here I am.
Well, and that's quite a bold leap to make it, to make a change like that. And I hear that you're really, you know, you've been doing it on the side and enjoy it. And so what was that like to make that leap into doing something, you know, professionally and full-time?
It was wonderful, because it was something that I got really interested in as a child, but then my life just took a different turn, and then when I finally decided to do this as a full-time business, I embraced the inner designer in me, and I was like, okay, this is really what I'm supposed to do. And I was kind of dealing with, well, I'm not just kind of, I was actually dealing with design when I was doing branding and marketing. So I knew, and it felt so natural to make that move over. So it was exciting.
Well, that's great to hear. Yeah. And then coming from that branding and marketing background, how does that feed into your design business?
Well, when I first started out, you know, doing this as a full-time business, I did traditional interior design for residential, but I also did staging, and mainly for high-end homes and vacant homes. because buyers often have a hard time visualizing what the house would look like when it's empty, when they're shopping mm-hmm. around. So having the branding and marketing background is all about putting the hat on, the buyer's hat on when you walk into a space, and then creating this lifestyle that goes with the house and the location and what is available, as far as whether it's a backyard with just trees or it's a pool or and, you know, and so forth. And so it's creating this alluring space or spaces, you know, bedroom, for example, like, wow, I could really see myself getting a good night's sleep here, or the master bath. Wow, it'd be so nice to feel spa-like. I'm going to so enjoy, you know, taking a bath. Or if it's an outside space, oh, yeah, I could definitely see myself having a lemonade or a nice drink in the afternoon and sitting out here and relaxing. So, again, that's where the branding and marketing and advertising comes in, is creating this feeling of I can definitely relate to this, and therefore this is what I want to buy. So how this translates now to me in doing interior design and also outfitting short-term rentals, and vacation rentals being the biggest slice of that pie, is again the same thing of I walk in as the guest or the renter, and how does the space feel, and I create these luxurious and relaxing environments so people really can have a true vacation where they relax and recharge.
Mm-hmm. So it's really giving people an experience, creating
yes.
the environment for the experience. That's what I'm getting from what you're saying.
Yes. People are really into experiences these days. Yeah.
Yeah. And what would be some secrets or some design tips that you would offer for someone who's considering this or wanting to be able to create these experiences that you're talking about for their people that are renting?
Yeah, so the first thing I would say is guests and or renters don't ever want to feel like they're just in somebody else's house. You do need to try to create the balance between the comforts of home and also still create a boutique hotel experience. And what I mean by that is bedrooms, for example, to make them emulate the feel of a hotel suite. Bed, you know, super comfortable bed, luxurious bedding is primary as far as that is concerned. Same mm-hmm. thing with bathrooms. Try to create this feeling of walking into a luxurious spa. And so that when you take that shower, that bath, it's just a super relaxing. But one of the rooms that often, and I'm speaking from a personal experience, often gets overlooked is the kitchen. And a lot of my clients usually go, really, the kitchen? Like, why is that important? Mm-hmm. And it is very important for most renters. And the reason being, A, they want comforts of home, but also 6 out of 10 families have some kind of a dietary restriction, like allergy, or they're on a certain diet or whatever. So eating out, and certainly eating out 3 meals a day, becomes a challenge. So they want the comforts of being able to cook. They make a lot, you know, a couple of days a week or something like that, but certainly not 3 days a week. And so therefore the kitchen really needs to be well equipped, not just with the right kind of appliances and plenty of storage space, but dinnerware and cookware, so that they could, if they chose to cook an elaborate meal, to do that. That all the utensils, all the cookware, all the dinnerware is there for them to do that. And also basic condiments, such as, you know, basic spices and maybe some olive oil and ketchup and mustard, et cetera, that it's there, coffee, tea, so that they don't walk in and literally have to go and stock up the whole kitchen. So the kitchen is very, very important. Outdoor space, if it's in an area where outdoor living is not only popular but sought after and really something that they want to enjoy and take advantage of, the outdoor space is also hugely important to create an extension of the interior out to into the exterior so that it feels like a living space but happens to be outdoors.
So there are so many good points that you mentioned, and I was just smiling when you were talking about 6 out of 10 people have dietary restrictions, because that kitchen has been such like a sticking point for me when I've stayed at different, you know, vacation rentals, if the kitchen isn't equipped. And that's just, I always thought it was just, you know, my own family, but I didn't realize that this really extended to other people. So this is some great tips for people to really look and anticipate the needs of their guests that will be staying at their vacation rental. And so, you know, is there a way to test this, or any ways that you encourage your clients to be able to anticipate the needs of the people that will stay at their home?
Yes. One of the suggestions I make, if they live in the area, and you know, let's say that they own a vacation rental here in San Diego, but they live in Austin, Texas. May not be practical, but I usually suggest clients to either themselves or have somebody, a friend or somebody in the family, to stay in their own vacation rental for like 2 or 3 days and see how they function. You know, not only with the kitchen, but is the bed comfortable? Is it missing something like a luggage stand? Or, my gosh, you know, I didn't realize we didn't have any hangers in the closet. I mean, these are little things, and they seem mm-hmm. insignificant, but it's actually super important because that's what makes an overall experience. Yes, decor is very important to make it feel nice and, you know, comfortable furniture and nice looking and clean and all that, but it's often what I find with my clients is often the littlest details that are super inexpensive to take care of that really puts their rentals over the top.
So you really come at it from the perspective an investment is able to, the property and the interior design is really an investment.
Yes. Interior design often is thought of as a frivolous expense, but it couldn't be further from the truth. Interior design is actually an investment that yields an immediate ROI. I don't think the stock market can even do that these days. But what it does is it instantly increases your property value. It also increases the rental value. It helps boost the occupancy rate. And as far as the rental value, if things are done right, because here's the thing, too, is it's not just spending money all over the place. There are places where you need to splurge to make sure the quality, because and longevity is part of the picture. But there are places where you can be totally frugal and you don't have to go overboard and do it very inexpensively. But the thing about it is if it's done right, you can actually increase your rental rate anywhere from 10 to 25%. And that is quite a bit. And especially now with the luxury market being so popular, it's the fastest growing segment of short-term rentals. It definitely makes a huge impact. I mean, Airbnb in 2018, so a 60% jump in bookings that were over $1,000 per night.
That's considerable. Yeah. And what do you account that for?
People, and it tends to be maybe a couple of families that do this. So like if it's let's say a 4-bedroom place and they, you know, a couple with 2 kids each or whatever, you know, it becomes actually more economical to stay in a place that might be, I don't know, $1,200 a night than staying in a hotel, because you have to have multiple hotel rooms, and then you can eat out 3 meals a day and et cetera. But there are also people who really just want to treat themselves to like a really relaxing vacation. And hotels, as nice as they are, and especially these high-end boutique hotels, again, people like that comforts of home aspect of it as well. And I read an interview with the new CEO of Trivago who said that people are really into the whole comforts of home aspect of things, but they want the reliability of the boutique hotel experience. So that's why I also suggest to my clients to offer certain concierge services. So to have on hand people that they can recommend for babysitting or dog sitting, or they want a massage, or they want to hire a personal chef for a meal where they want to have friends over, or et cetera. So that you're not missing anything necessarily in a hotel, except for going downstairs into the bar, I guess. But that you offer a lot of the same amenities that you would get in a boutique hotel, and certainly create that environment of the boutique hotel, but you really are also having the comforts of home, which I think a lot of people find security in.
Yeah, so the luxury meets comfort. That's what I'm hearing, and having those amenities available, as well as the luxury environment.
Yes.
Beautiful. And, you know, what are some ways that people can do things like you mentioned some things, you know, you could be frugal. They don't have to be cost a lot of money, but they yield a, you know, great ROI. What are some maybe other simple things that you could share with our listeners?
Well, I mean, simple things like flatware and dinnerware, you know, like plates and serving bowls and that sort of thing. I mean, there are plenty of places that you can spend very little money and do very well, like, you know, IKEA and Home Goods and Amazon and Target and Walmart and, other things to make sure that the kitchen has things like aluminum foil and saran wrap and oven mitts. I mean, I really literally stayed in an Airbnb that didn't even have oven mitts or a colander or even a cutting board. I was like, wow. It's people, there are a lot of hosts that will have an $800 espresso and cappuccino machine, but they will have like one teaspoon. So really, I'm going to use my one teaspoon between our four coffee cups, and then I got to wash it. And you know what I mean? Like, those are the little things. And things like tissues and paper, you know, good quality paper napkins. And I mean, again, like little things where I would make sure that I would invest well are in a bed, again, comfortable beds. Comfortable seating, good quality bedding, good quality towels, good furniture that is going to last a good while, because you don't want to necessarily go cheap/inexpensive with furniture, because you're going to end up spending more in the long run, because you're going to have to replace it, because it gets a fair amount of wear and tear with guests constantly using it.
Mm-hmm. And Gunilla, just in case our listeners want to reach you after our show, how would you like our listeners to contact you?
Well, I would say the best way is go and visit my website, which is deluxedecorbydesign.com.
Great. And if you didn't catch those contact details, we'll have that information listed in our show notes. So, Gunilla, I also wanted to ask you about your background a little bit, because you didn't grow up in the United States. So tell us a little bit about your background and how that also informs your design.
Yeah, so I was actually born and raised in Stockholm, Sweden. And as I mentioned, my dad was a structural engineer. And so it kind of runs in the family. I have a sister who is also a super talented interior designer, not by trade, but she's always had it as a hobby and a side gig. So at first I was in the arts mostly, I ballet and singing and playing a piano. And so mainly, again, in the arts. And then when I moved to the United States, at age 19, I took my art background and I applied it and paired it with my schooling, which was in business administration and marketing, and I paired that up with getting into the entertainment industry first in the record industry, doing promotion and marketing. And then I worked in independent film for a while, where I not only did the marketing aspect of things, but I was a stylist, helping doing set decoration, which here we go again. Here comes the interior design part in me, right? Doing set decoration and then and also doing styling for the actors. And then I ended up in the cable TV industry, and I actually worked at the Sci-Fi Channel for a long time and overseeing anything that had to do with branding and marketing. So overseeing things like graphic design, photography, film and video production, even booth. We had a booth that I still do, but I'm sure it's a newer one now. But we had booths that we built for conventions such as Comic-Con, et cetera. So I oversaw staff where we were responsible for producing all of that. So always been involved in a creative field. And then, as I said earlier, I left the corporate world to pursue my my interior design full time.
That's such an interesting background. And like you said, there's this thread through it that, the visual arts and the also the business and marketing. So you've been able to really combine those together. And, there's entrepreneurs that have come from corporate, or there's people that are in corporate that perhaps have a side hustle and they're thinking maybe in the future they want to transition to their own business. And I wanted to get your thoughts on any tips or advice you might have for someone in that situation wanting to transition into having their own business down the line.
I'm a firm believer of follow your heart. So if someone is in a corporate job that I was good at the corporate game, so to speak, but I didn't necessarily enjoy it, and I knew that there was more to life, so to speak. I always encourage people to explore. Definitely, think it through. If it's something that you can start doing part-time to get your feet wet and to kind of get a feel for, is this something that, on paper it looks good, but in practical ways, is this something I can really make a full-time thing out of? Is this something I'm passionate about? I do believe that being passionate about something is going to keep you keep going through when you hit those rough spots, or you hit a slow period, or something like that. That's what's going to still keep you going. Like, this is my mission, and if I need to change my methods a little bit, that's fine, but I'm not changing my mission. So I would say definitely start exploring things if you can, if it's a type of profession and or industry where you can at least do something part-time at first, do that.
And then the other thing I heard you say is that commitment to your passion. And even though it may need to be tweaked, your message or something, just staying really true to your mission and what it is that that lights you on fire, basically, right?
Yeah, because I think often what happens is we have dreams, and dreams are only dreams unless you put them into action, right? And often what causes us to not pursue our dreams is usually fear. And I saw such a fantastic quote, which was attributed to Jack Canfield, who is who's a co-author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul. I read a quote of his last week that said, "Everything you want is on the other side of fear," and that really spoke to me, because often what we need, it's like that. Courage is not the absence of fear; it's us still doing it, even though we're afraid. And by doing it afraid, we overcome the fear, and that's what courage is really all about. So, fear tends to be the culprit of stopping us that can show up in different ways, like procrastination or many other ways. But yeah, fear tends to be the thing that stops us from pursuing our dreams.
That is so powerful and so important to remember. I love the quote you shared. Everything you want is on the other side of fear.
Yes.
Yeah. And so for you, Gunilla, what, as we close today, I always like to ask my guests, you know, what's the big vision that's calling to you next, and especially in the year ahead? What's your big vision?
I recently relocated from the East Coast to Southern California, and I really would like to really grow and expand my territory as far as short-term rentals, and really getting involved, not just from the design aspect of things, but really outfitting them, and outfitting meaning giving advice of the things that I talked about, like the dinnerware, you know, the details that really make of short-term rental really pop and be super attractive and get high occupancy rate and to get the rental rates that it really deserve. To do that for all of Southern California, so from LA down to basically the Mexican border, to really help people, you know, that investors that are invested in properties that are purely an investment, or homeowners that want to rent out their property part time, to really help them make more money and get an understanding of what is important in a short term rental to guests versus what is not so important. And unless you stay in your own place, it's kind of hard to see what people want and what they are looking for in a rental.
Mm-hmm. Great. And then just like a really quick, like three bullet recap of those three design secrets that you shared with us that we can take away with us. Would you go over those?
Yeah. So people do not want to feel like they're just like staying in somebody else's house. So try to create a balance between the comforts of home and creating a boutique hotel experience. And the four probably most important rooms or areas to focus on are your bedrooms, your bathrooms, kitchen for sure, and then your outdoor space if you have one. Those are the things that people are really looking for to help them relax. Good night's sleep, a great, you know, long bath or long luxurious shower, cooking a nice breakfast and sitting out in that outdoor space and having that breakfast with that coffee.
Yeah, and I loved what you said too about having someone then, once you've done all those things, come and spend a couple of nights and give you feedback and in a sense, pilot the experience so that you have it from their perspective as well, any tweaks you might need to make.
Exactly, and things you may need to add or maybe take out, because living in a place full time is very different than just staying in a place for a few days or a couple of weeks.
For sure, yeah. And then any closing thoughts or inspiration that you would like to leave our listeners with?
Like I just said just a couple of minutes ago, follow your passion. Mm-hmm. It's so important. Life is too short to just kind of breathe and exist. There's just so much more to life than quote unquote making a living, so to speak. And if your passion, whatever you're passionate about, especially if it impacts and benefits others, that's really the right balance of how you can be a blessing unto other people.
Beautiful. Yeah. And that piece that you said earlier too about when you follow your passion and you act with courage, it doesn't mean that there isn't fear there. You're acting in spite of the fear. Don't let the fear stop you. That's the other important piece I heard.
Yes, exactly.
Wonderful. Thank you so much today, Ganella, for being on the show and sharing your expertise and your inspiration with us.
Thank you, Vasya. Thank you so much for having me as your guest today.
And that's our show for today. And a special thanks to all our listeners, both in the United States and internationally. We'll be back again for another Women Lead radio show, Mondays at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific. This is Vasi Huntalis, your host of Dreaming Big, Leading Boldly. Remember to stay true to you and your dream by asking yourself this important question. What's the next bold step I can take to move my vision forward? Be the bold leader you were born to be, and go for it.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.